In the coming year of our Lord, the 1852 Farmer's Almanac predicted 4 eclipses, 3 of the moon, 1 of the sun. It said nothing of torrential rain, no prophecies of muddied fields or stalks of cotton so waterlogged and beaten down the bolls grazed the earth. By the time the hot Texas sun made its return, glaring its indiscriminate and wanton gaze, it was much too late. The cotton wouldn't mature, instead choosing to rot right there, the bolls refusing to open. It held back the white woolly heads that were so much in demand, and instead relinquished a dank fungal smell that remained trapped in the air for weeks. The day we were ordered to clear the field, we prayed for a norther, those horrible howling winds that scared us plumb to death our first winter in this strange country. But we knew better. Texas weather was an animal all its own, and we had yet to figure out what gods it answered to. With no plow, we had no choice but to break it up by hand. We took to the field with pickaxes and dug up the roots, and patch by patch, we set them aflame. It was easy to get too close, to underestimate the direction and sway of the growing fire. We spent the day that way, leaping from one blaze or another, our long skirts gathered in our fists while black plumes of smoke darkened the sky. The smoke remained long after dusk. It was still there late that night when we shook off sleep and stumbled out of our lumpy bedding to peek outside through the gaps in the cabin's chinking. All the while, we debated whether to go crossing at all. There was a lot of complaining and grumbling about tired limbs and feet, about bad air and threatening fog, about howling dogs, hungry lobos, and angry Hanks lying in wait. Yet, no one wanted to be left out. We yanked loose the rags and moss stuffed into the cracks and crevices, but even then, we couldn't see much. Everything appeared to be still and dark. Ahead, a haphazard row of sloping outbuildings stuck out of the ground like crooked teeth. The high, brilliant moon made monstrous shadows of them, dark shapes we stared at for long bouts until we were sure there was no movement. The wind stirred, and we could hear the wild swinging branches of half-dead trees just beyond the farm, the knobby limbs that clacked all night. We listened past them for dogs, for wolves, for any sign of the Lucys. Opposite the outbuildings was the Lucys' house, a wide double-pin cabin nearly 3 times the sizes of ours. From our doorway, only a sliver of their house was visible, but it was just enough to gauge their wakefulness by the solid black reflection of their window panes, the lack of firelight seeping from the cabin's walls. The Lucys did not like us moving about at night. Often, they threatened to lock us in after dark. We imagined only the fear of fire kept them from doing so. After all, burned-up property was akin to having no property at all. A quick word about the Lucys, if we must. To most, they were known as the Harlows, Mistress Lizzie and Master Charles of Liberty County, Georgia. Or really, she was of Liberty County, Georgia, and he was one of the many who came to the Texas countryside claiming to have no past, in hopes of making the land yield some invisible fortune he believed he was owed. But to us, they were just the Lucys. Sometimes Miss or Mrs., Mr. or Master, but typically just Lucy, spawn of Lucifer, kin of the devil in the most wretched place most of us have ever known.